If you have God's Word with you this morning, look with me, please, to the wonderful book of Philippians. We're going to take a few moments to look at Philippians. And one of my favorite books and one of my favorite chapters in those four chapters of the book of Philippians. There are only four chapters, of course, but the word joy is found 16 times in these four chapters. And the church at Philippi was one of the first churches Paul established in Macedonia. And they were one of the most beloved peoples to Paul. And this wonderful letter shares the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul for these sweet people at Philippi. So we're going to look together in Philippians chapter 4 this morning and read down through verse 13. Beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, by the way, that obviously reminds us that all that has gone before in this letter to the Philippians, Paul is calling back to their attention and now coming to a close and saying, by the way, don't forget, this is something you need to focus on every day. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You can almost feel the warmth and the passion and the love of Paul for the sweet people at Philippi. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche, two feminine names in the Greek and two ladies at Philippi, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And that moderation could be translated your sweet reasonableness, your Christ-like spirit. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And not only was he reminding them the Lord's coming was imminent, but he's reminding them that wherever they went, wherever we go, we are a reflection of and a testimony to the goodness and the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a walking testament to God's wonderful power to save, forgive, and transform. Be careful for nothing, or don't be a worrier. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and Ron Dunn, one of my favorite preachers who went home to be with the Lord several years ago, called verse 8 God's ponder list. God's ponder list. Listen to what he said. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or focus on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly in verse 10, how that now, at the last, your care for me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And then in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now skip down to verse 19, if you will. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. On a number of occasions, I've had the joy of trying to preach from the book of Philippians, and we preached from these words in this chapter before on a couple of occasions. But today I want to do something a little bit different. I have enjoyed renewing the wonderful truths that are in this great passage, and there are really 10 fine fundamental principles found in God's Word in this fourth chapter of Philippians that deal with our victory, our standing, our state as believers in Christ. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. But the truth is, while He is our victor, we don't always enjoy that victory that He's provided for us. And here Paul's talking about, let me talk to you about how to maintain, how to experience, how to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord, how to have victory in Jesus. Now, let me be sure that you understand what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the fact that if you're saved, if you'll increase your offering a little bit, you probably will get you a real nice car. Somebody's going to give you a nice car. Or I'm not talking about having your own private airplane. I'm not talking about wielding, flashing off diamonds and being all of that. And I'm not talking about having your own private yacht. Well, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. That's not what Paul's talking about. When he talks about victory in Jesus, he talks about our standing and our victory in this old world as children of the living Lord. And these 10 principles we're going to look at together today, 5 this morning and 5 tonight, how to have victory in Jesus, my Savior, our Savior forever. There are these 5 things we'll look at together, beginning number 1. Paul talks to the church of Philippi and says, let me share with you how you can understand and discover, experience firsthand the wonderful victory, the overcoming victory that's ours as believers in Christ. And so the first one is, learn to live consistently. Look at verse 1 again, would you please? Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and long for my joy and crown, he could have not found any more caring and warm words for the church of Philippi. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul ended his ministry several years later. When he did, he came to this testimony. He said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've run the race. What he was saying was, I finished well my assignment with regard to the kingdom. If you want to have victory in Jesus, make up your mind to be a good finisher of the Lord Jesus. I enjoyed watching the Olympics when they were on TV several months ago. And I particularly enjoyed watching the races. And they were just magnificent to watch. That if you notice something about people who run those races, those who are the winners, without exception, will always, when they come to the finish line and the tape is right in front of them, what do? They lean forward. They lean into the tape. They want to finish as fast, as wonderfully, as marvelously, as quickly as they possibly can. And Paul said, let me tell you how to have victory in Jesus. Make up your mind. This is not a short-term thing. This is the rest of your life. Living for, loving, serving the Lord Jesus. Learn to live consistently. There'll be some things that'll set you back. We have worries. We have problems. We're discouraged at times. And all Christians experience some measure of that. But the truth is, we don't have to be overcome by circumstances. We can be overcomers in our circumstances by making up our mind to be consistent in our service to the Lord. Inconsistency is a mark of immaturity and the thief of spiritual prosperity. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. What he's saying here to the church of Philippi is, I won't always be with you, but the Lord will be. And you've got a wonderful assignment from heaven itself. Finish your race well. Learn to live consistently. Stand fast in the Lord. We must be consistent in our walk, in our worship, in our witness, and in our warfare. Everywhere where God leads us, we ought to reflect and magnify His precious, wonderful, marvelous name. This is an in-season living and an out-of-season living, when it's popular and when it's not, when it's profitable and when it's not. And along the way, and if you identify with this, you just might want to say amen in your heart. When it is, the devil will bring into your path. Now listen to this. Anybody ever hurt your feelings? Well, that's the devil knows how to get to us and how to get to us emotionally. And so the devil will bring forth into your path hurt feelings. Disappointment. Anybody ever disappointed you? Or discouragement. Anybody ever face discouragement? The truth is we all do. The truth is when we face those things, we ought to be reminded in God's Word, we are already, by our standing in Christ, realize we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Get thee behind us, Satan. You don't have any right in this territory called my heart or my life. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to take my stand in the kingdom for the Lord Jesus. And David, you can get behind me because you have no place in this life. I belong to the Lord Jesus. What do you do to have victory in Jesus? Learn to live consistently. Now, you do that by making up your mind as you begin your day. Begin it with Jesus. As you end your day, somehow end it with Jesus. Whether it's devotional time or prayer time, Bible study time, or just meditation time, spend some time alone, quiet, and focused on your love for the Lord Jesus, because we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Learn to live consistently. Stand fast in the Lord. Make up your mind, no matter what the rest of the world does, no matter how the rest of the world responds, I'm going to finish my race well for the glory of God and for His praise. Not only are we going to be victors as we learn to live harmonious, excuse me, as we learn to live consistently, the second thing, and I like this one too, I like them all, learn to live harmoniously. There's a word in the book of Acts that is found several times, especially in chapter 2 and 3. It's homothumadon. Almost speaking of one, and it's of one accord in the book of Acts. And the early church was just that. They were with one accord in one place, praying unto the Lord. What does it mean to learn to live harmoniously? Well, there was a situation in Philippi, and you might have heard of it. It was a situation between two ladies, Euodias and Syntyche, and we don't know anything about them except they could not agree on and probably could not agree on and find common ground on something. We don't know what the problem was, but he said, "Let I beseech thee to be of the same mind in the Lord." This doesn't sound very theological, but get a life and get over your hurt feelings, and whatever your problem is between Euodias and Syntyche, give it up. It's not worth the fellowship and the testimony of the early church, of any church. Now listen carefully. I am thoroughly convinced that one of the hardest things you and I will ever do is extend forgiveness to somebody who has hurt us. One of the hardest things we'll ever do. Tragically, one of the easiest things that can happen is we can get our feelings hurt or wounded by somebody that may or may not have intended to. But even then, this thing called forgiveness, and when you have a broken relationship, is at the center and the heart of our walk with the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be consistent in our walk with the Lord Jesus? It means to learn to live harmoniously with others. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. The one accord in the book of Acts had become discord at Philippi, at least in these two lives. And I wonder how many of us have missed the sweetness of our fellowship with the Lord because there was bitterness in our heart over something somebody said or did a long time ago, or maybe not so long ago. Guard your heart. We're talking about victory in Jesus. If the devil can steal your victory by giving you a bitter spirit and an unforgiving spirit, it doesn't mean you've got to agree with what somebody says. It doesn't mean you've got to always concur with what they say. But bitterness will steal your joy and steal your victory in the Lord. And you and I heard somebody say this a long time ago, you and I will never have to forgive anybody as much as Jesus had to forgive us. And if I can be forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb, thank God He lives within me and He gave me the ability to be forgiving toward others and to be faithful and to stand for the Lord Jesus and be forgivers and be forgiven. So what are we talking about? We're talking about these 10 principles of what it means to be victorious in Christ. Learn to live consistently. Learn to live harmoniously. And thirdly, in verse 3, learn to live lives of service. Look at verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We don't know a lot about these people who Paul names here, but we do know that they served the Lord faithfully, and service was in the middle of their testimony, in the middle of their commitment to and contribution to the body of Christ. Paul uses two or three words to talk about these people's service. One of them is a word used to describe somebody coming alongside. It's almost like somebody's carrying a heavy burden and somebody comes up alongside and gets up under the burden and helps the person carry them. That's one of the words used for service. Another is a word which means the labored, means to contend along with a person. And the picture is one of devoted service. You will seldom find yourself more enriched than when you give yourself in service to the kingdom of God. We just finished our spiritual gift series. And one of the things I hope that we remember is that God is a place of service for everybody. There are no insignificant roles in the life of the body of Christ. And thank God for those sweet servants of the Lord. I think about Calvary Church. And in many ways you epitomize, and I mean this with all of my heart, what it means to serve the Lord and serve each other. There's a sweet spirit in this place and a sweet spirit of servanthood in this place. Thank God for those who don't necessarily care so much about being served as they do having the opportunity to serve others. And our church is blessed because we've got folks like that all over the church. We're talking about how to have victory in Jesus. Learn to live consistently. Learn to live harmoniously. Learn to live lives of service. There's a place of service for everyone. If we are to be discover God's will, we must learn to be servants. By the way, it's not all about me. It's all about others as well. And the truth is, we'll discover more power and victory and peace than we've ever imagined possible if we'll invest in ministering to others as God gives us opportunity. Number 4, what does it mean to live victoriously? What does it mean to be an overcomer in Christ? Learn to live joyfully. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I underlined in my notes this phrase. This is not a denial of difficulties or heartache. It's an expression of victory in the valleys of difficulty. Years ago, a preacher friend of mine gave me a little booklet. I'm not even sure where it is in my office now, but it's there somewhere. And the title of it was Victories in the Valleys of Life. And how that book has been used through the years to minister to me and encourage me and bless me. And you see, we are overcomers when we learn to live joyfully. You know, you can choose to live joyfully. You can choose to be an old grouch. And that in Jesus' name. See, the fallacy is we believe it just by adding that little phrase to it makes it all right. The truth is, we can decide which course we're going to take. And God has already said, I'm a more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I am a victor in Christ. And I make up my mind, I'm going to live joyfully, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you're having trouble rejoicing, count your many blessings. Name them what? One by one. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I look out across this congregation, and I think about the last year, 2 years, 3 years. We've walked together through heartache and hurt and pain and difficulty. Then I look at you now and see where God has brought you from and how God's blessed you and how God's used you and blessed your testimony through the encouragement of others. That's what Paul's talking about to the church of Philippi. Learn to live joyfully. Doesn't mean you won't have sorrow or hurt or heartache. It just means those things don't have to rule and reign in your Christ because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Learn to live joyfully. Learn to live rejoicingly. Number 5, I like this one. Let your moderation, your sweet reasonableness, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word sweet reasonableness could also be translated gentleness. I received a text or an email from a sweet friend of ours who, they were members of our church at Bartlett years ago and chairman of deacons and sweet, sweet people. And they moved to Florida, and husband and wife, and we kept up with them once, visited them a time or two. And they were the kind of people that always encouraged us and always blessed us and always had a word of affirmation. And they are the ones that I have seen and watched their lives, and they live such Christ-like lives. Just being around them, you feel like you've been in the presence of the Lord. You know, that's a testimony to the goodness of God and the victory, the sweet gentleness and the sweet reasonableness that's ours in Christ. Learn to live Christ-like life. Let people know that you love Jesus. Don't just tell them, show them that you love Jesus. May the love of God abound in our hearts as we walk in obedience and faith and surrender. Being a servant, and being an overcomer, being a victor, doesn't mean driving a limo. Nothing wrong with driving a limo. I've ridden in one once or twice, but that's all. Doesn't mean having that private yacht, though I've been on one of those, but I'll have to suffice it just to go to a friend's house because I'll never have one. The truth is, my victory doesn't come in stuff. You can't have enough stuff to make you an overcomer in Christ. First of all, you are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And you already, God has already said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And Paul said in the Church of Philippi, finish your race well. You're coming to the tape across the finish line. Lean forward in obedience and faithfulness and finish your race well. And I don't know about the Lord's plan. Nobody does. But one of these days, and the Lord calls me home, if he tarries, he's coming. I want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I've never been mistaken for an athlete on the running track. You're supposed to laugh at that. Truth is, I couldn't get on the track with those folks. They are awesome athletes. But I can finish my race well. And you can finish your race well. Because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. I was looking over just a few notes and I'm done now. Last night as I was getting ready to go to bed, I've got another funeral, Bobby, tomorrow. And of all the things you can say at a funeral about somebody, if you can say they finished their race well, what a testimony to what it means to live with victory in Jesus. May we finish well for his glory. Let's bow together, shall we? The old devil will throw all types of obstacles in our way, but greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. You are somebody that God's got a plan for and a purpose for. And you've got a place in the kingdom that's reserved just for you. Would you make up your mind, if you've not already done so, finish your race well by making Jesus the Lord. For some of you this morning, maybe being saved is you have that sweet assurance. But you just need to come and recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you've become a little bit careless. Maybe you've somehow lost the joy of your walk with Jesus. The altar is a good place to renew that. Or maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. And the truth is, you'll never do anything more important, more wonderful, more glorious, more meaningful than to give your heart and life to Christ. Turn from sin by faith, trust Jesus. You can do that today. Just make your way forward and say, Brother Jackie, I want to be saved. And we'll pray together. And I can share with you what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Father, would you have your own way? Lord, I don't know about the needs of the hearts of the sweet folks that are here, but you do. But I do pray, Lord, that you'll make us who are saved more than conquerors through you who have loved us. And Lord, may we live as children of the King, as overcomers, as soldiers of the cross. And Lord, thank you that we have a cause, we have a King, we have the promises of God and the presence of God. And may we finish our race well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, shall we?
Let's stand together and sing "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior" for our invitation. It's 308 if you need it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
It's a beautiful day outside. It's been a sweet day inside. And I pray the Lord will wonderfully bless you today. I'm going to ask a man who's been such an inspiration to me and such a blessing to all of his family and friends here. Rusty Ginn, brother, we love you and thank the Lord for you.
Hey, Brother Jackie.
Closing prayer, please.
Brother Jackie.
Yes.
Before he does, can I share something?
Sure.
I'd like to just share something real quick. You know, we've been singing this morning about how good God is and that we can trust on him and lean on him and everything. And, you know, I just felt like Shelby told me something before the service, and I just kind of felt like it needed to be shared. So you've got more information than I probably do. So do you want to tell it or do you? So, okay, well, just help me out because I may get some of it wrong if you don't mind. So she fostered a dog about, well, first of all, she loves animals. And she is great with animals and loves dogs. And she fosters dogs and just loves getting to do that. And so she fostered one about, how long ago was it? Since before Christmas. And so somebody, he was a good dog, and somebody took him yesterday. And then it was just a real good dog for them. And so the lady has decided that she's going to bring him back, right? And
So he's supposed to go up north through Memphis Animal Services, but they canceled the transport because there was a distemper outbreak. And I was only supposed to have him for a month. My husband's about to get a new dog for work, and we just don't have room for him anymore. So I found this lady to take him yesterday. She messaged me this morning and she said, I can't handle him, he's too much. And didn't even give him 24 hours. Can you come get him or I'm gonna take him back to the shelter? And I was like, well, I unfortunately don't have room for him. You're gonna have to take him back to the shelter and they're gonna automatically put him down. Like, I know they will. So I put on Facebook, as somebody else probably seen this morning, shared him, tried to find somebody else to take him. Nobody will take him, but I have another foster through Mass. This lady stepped up to take her so I could go get him back, and that way he won't get put down. So
yeah, so yeah, I just felt like that needed to be shared. And of course,
praying while we were singing, just
yeah,
so,
and she got all that information. I probably would have butchered some of that. So, you know, but thank you for sharing that. And I just want to publicly say thank you for coming to church. We're so blessed to have you here. And just thank you for the encouragement you and Matt are to me. And I love y'all. So it's good to have her here. And so part of our good to have her coming to church on Sunday. So, yeah. Rusty, if you'll pray for us and we'll be done.
Be with us as we gather the rest of the week. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.